Amen. Well, I know that twitched a nerve in Bobby's back neck. My man Bobby over there, he's always, always, always on about prayer. And, you know, for the most part, I think as Christians, we lack in prayer. But we'll find that out later on as I go along. But anyways, this is the fourth teaching, the last teaching that Bobby and I had put together. Bob was talking about being a world changer, and then I went into knowing the Word of God to help us change the world, and then Bob taught last week about being prepared, and then, of course, I'm ending in prayer. Prayer changing the world. Prayer is not a mysterious practice reserved only for the clergy and the religiously devout. Prayer is simply communicating with God, listening and talking to Him. Believers can pray from the heart, freely, spontaneously, and in their own words. If prayer is a difficult area for you, learn these basic principles of prayer and how to apply them to your life. So we see here that how do we communicate with God? We communicate through prayer. Amen? And I think of those of us that are married. I mean, how do we have a good relationship with our husband or our wives? One of the main things that we need to grab hold of and work on is communication. Amen? I mean, we can't just guess what our spouse, well, I don't know. With, I can't say that 100% because I know at least with my wife. I mean, we've been together a lot of years, and I always tell people when we're doing marriage counseling, I mean, when you get that close with your partner where you can be in a room, let's say, of a couple hundred people at like a wedding or something like that, and I could be at this end of the hall and Donna can be at that end of the hall, and without saying a word, she can just look at me a certain way, and I know exactly what that look means. But I mean, think about it. That's good communication, though, you know. It's a facial, it's still a form of communication. It's a facial communication, and I'm not talking like she's going, you know, that's too easy. I mean, she can look, and I know that look, and I know what that look means, you know. I remember one time this guy, you know, kind of offended her in a way that I didn't see, and I just barely caught the end of it. I'm getting ready to get in the car, and she gave me that look, and it was weird, too, because it was one of those slow motion, you know how your life just slows down? And she was like, whoa. And I saw that look, and right away my eyes focused on the guy that had said something. So, I mean, I won't get into the rest of that story. That's not important here. The important thing was I realized the communication. We'll end that there. But anyways, so communication. What does the Bible have to say about prayer? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about it. It's first mentioned in Genesis 4:26. It says, Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. So we see way back in the book of Genesis, really is when men started to communicate with God. Okay? And I thought this was funny, because I pulled this off the internet. It was
What verse was that, Eddie?
4:26. Okay, it says, what is the correct posture for prayer? There is no correct or certain posture for prayer. In the Bible, people prayed on their knees in 1 Kings, bowing in Exodus, on their faces before God in 2 Chronicles and Matthew, and standing in 1 Kings. You may pray with your eyes opened or closed, quietly or out loud, however you are most comfortable and least distracted. And to me, that's the most important thing. You don't want to be distracted when you're trying to communicate with the Lord. Amen? I mean, some people, and I'm sure it's for different reasons, but some people have a hard time just hearing the Word of God or hearing the voice of God. You know what I mean? Now, can you imagine if you're trying to, you know, feverishly pray for something or wholeheartedly trying to pray on something and the TV's blasting, the kids are screaming, and I mean, come on. You know, more than likely, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, I don't want to say we got to take all our prayer you know, seriously, like, you know, shut up. Everybody shut up. I'm praying, you know. But use wisdom, you know, use wisdom. If you know that the house is going to be a little rambunctious, then go up to your bedroom or go down in the basement. Go to a quiet place where you can get one-on-one with the Lord and listen to his voice, you know. Here, this I thought this was interesting. Should I use eloquent words? Your prayers don't have to be wordy or impressive in speech. In Matthew 6, 7 through 8, it says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I thought that was ironic. Your Father knows what you need. And I know Bob's used that a lot, especially when, like when he's giving words, where the Lord's using Bob to give a word to somebody, whether it's a word of encouragement or this young lady over here. I don't remember your name, but wasn't she here at the first meeting, Bob? Over there in the corner, wave your hand. You remember that, right, Bob?
I didn't see her over there, yes. Hi.
And that's the first time you had met her, correct? And God spoke to Bob, and he spoke things about her that were true and things in her life, and Bob had never seen her before. But see, we were in a quiet, subtle place, and Bob was able to hear the Lord clearly, you know, and we got to take that to the table, especially when we're praying. You know, whether we're praying for others or for our church or for our community or for someone's salvation. I mean, can you imagine that, trying to go on with the TV blaring, kids crying, you know, phone ringing? You know, it's probably not going to happen, you know. It's probably not going to happen. I mean, does anybody, well, here's another one. In Ecclesiastes 5:2, it says, I like this one. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you on our earth, so let your words be few. Okay, so if God, if the scripture before that said God already knows what you're going to ask for, why do you got to sit there and ramble on, you know, 2,500 words, you know? And I'm not saying that our prayer should just be, Lord, you know the desire of my heart, let it happen, I'm out, you know? I'm not saying that either, you know? But I think of that movie, National Lampoon's Vacation. Remember when the aunt died and he wants to get to Wally World? And he leaves her on the patio and it's raining and she goes, well, at least say a few words, Clark. And he's like, yeah, though we go to the land of the Canaanites, I pray, Lord, no, I implore you, Lord God, to save this soul. You know, we don't have to be like that. Come on. I mean, again, use wisdom, use common sense, you know. But the thing is, we don't, this is going to be a personal joke, but we got a phone call last night. And Pastor Don was there to see this. And I mean, you want to talk about rambling on and 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 on. It's like, just get to the point. Get to the point. We don't care that the sky was blue or it was raining or, you know, a guy's dog got hit. We're not there for that, you know. Come to the Lord with what is on your heart that you want to pray for. Be you know, short and to the point, you know, and be on with it, you know. Another thing is, why should I pray? Prayer develops our relationship with God. If we never speak to our spouse or never listen to anything our spouse might have to say to us, our marriage relationship will quickly deteriorate. Right, Brian? See, it is the same way with God. Prayer, communicating with God, helps us grow closer and more intimately connected with God. Our pastors are always telling us that time and time again, and I know that they never will. Until the Lord takes them home, is that if you want to know God, you got to be about God, right? I mean, you got to get into His Word. His Word will tell you who He is and what He is and what he wants, you know? And the only way we're going to get any information from him is by prayer. You know, I think of that scripture, you know, about seeking the kingdom first, and then everything will be added onto you, you know? And I remember when I was a new Christian, I was like, you know how we like to pick that scripture out and use it the way we want to use it? I'm like, oh, wow. Hey, man, if I start saving God, man, I got a list. I want a Cadillac. I want a boat. I want this or that. You know, and I was stuck on that scripture like that. But over years, you know, listening to these men here speaking to my life and then start getting into the Word of God like I needed to be and start communicating with God, it was easy to see how that scripture is true, but the fact of the matter is when you seek out the kingdom of God, then your hearts and your desires become that of God's. And so, you know, a car isn't in the picture. I mean, not to say that, I mean, I remember Wendy's ma needed a car. You know, that's different. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's something that she really needed. You know, that's a need that we have to have, you know. She, you know, got a car, you got to go to work, kids to, you know, school. You know, but I'm just talking about to get that selfishness out, you know. That flesh wants to try and get in there, you know. And we got to keep it pure. You know, God wants to give us the desires of our heart. But where are our desires at? You know what I'm saying? Are our desires pointed towards the progression and success of his kingdom? Because that's where it needs to be, you know. So the way I'm looking at this is when you pray, make sure that your heart is right. Because I believe if your heart's right, then you're going to pray for the right things and not let your flesh come in there and try and pray for some kind of selfish gain, because the Lord's not going to give it to you. But we're going to find that out later, too. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But in Zechariah 13:9, it says, "This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God." In John 15:7, it says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you." And see, that's the point I was trying to make. If we know God's word, if we study his word and we're knowledgeable of his words, then we already know what his desires are. And his desires will become our desires. Do you understand that? You know? I'm not trying to get political here to say that you can't ever ask for anything for yourself. But most of our prayers should be for others, really. Think about it. You know, we should be praying for others instead of ourselves.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about praying for what we want. And I was thinking, this is a few weeks ago, when I was praying, I was thinking about, does God give us what we want? And oftentimes what we want represents something to us. We may want some new clothes because it makes us feel good. You know, we may want a car because it makes us you know, feel like we're in high school again. We may want whatever it is. A lot of times what we want is to fill a need that we think that item that we get is going to accomplish. And I think what God does is he'll bypass that little thing we want, and he'll actually fill that need. So if you think you'll be accepted if you wear nice clothes, or if you lose 10 pounds, or if you, whatever it is, when we get close to God, he will fill that need. He will give us what we really want, because oftentimes we don't even know what we want. We want things to fill a need, and he just wants to fill that need. He don't care, you know. I don't know who I was talking about, but who I was talking to about, you know, I know I've been blessed to know a lot of people who have a lot of money and have a lot of things, but I don't know if any of you guys ever go to a boat marina, but all these people got nice boats, and they're miserable. I mean, all they're doing their whole life, they're just maintaining what they have. People dream of living by the water so they can sit by the water and look out. We can go to the park and sit there and look at it for free. You know, we don't have to pay taxes or anything. We can just go there and enjoy it, you know. Flood insurance. So it was just something I felt like the Lord showed me a few weeks ago when I was in prayer. It's like, I'm going to fill your needs. I'm not going to fill your needs with what you think you need. I'm going to really fill that need.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway.
That was good, Joe. Okay, it also says that the Lord instructs us to pray. One of the simplest reasons to spend time in prayer is because the Lord instructed us to pray. Obedience is a natural byproduct of discipleship. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Shoot, I could do a whole sermon on that scripture right there. Because, I mean, how many times does that happen in our lives? You know? Right away, I think of the disciples. I mean, here's Jesus going to the cross. He spent most of his entire life with these guys. You know? He knows there's not much they can do, but he says, at least stand and watch here and pray while I go pray. Poor guy goes and prays and comes back, they're all sleeping. Gee, you couldn't even stay up to pray. You know? But then there's that scripture, you know, the spirit was willing, but the flesh is weak. And so that's what I love about Pastor Don when he talks about starting to read the Word. He says, don't sit here and say, man, I'm going to read 2 chapters every day. I'll be done in a month. It's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. And I'm not saying that you're liars. It's just that always something comes up, you know. I'm going to sit here and read this. All the kids sick. Got to take them to the doctors. Or, you know what I mean? Someone, mom and dad all of a sudden just popped over unannounced, you know. There's always something. So, you know, Pastor Don and Pastor John are like, be practical, you know. Maybe just do 1 chapter or a half chapter so you can stay steady and on the course. You know what I mean? And if the opportunity presents itself, you can read extra. But at least get that much done. You know what I mean? Because what will happen is we set these high goals, we fail, and then what happens? We just want to give up. We say, we can't do it. We're failures. You know? So don't make the goal so high. And the same thing with prayer. I mean, I'm talking about the Word of God, but that's the same thing with prayer, too. I mean, Bobby, you're always quoting it. There's power in prayer, amen? So if there's power in prayer, how come we don't pray more? You know what I'm saying? Or I shared that story from the pulpit, how the enemy had a hold of my mind and had me in fear for over a year to stop what God wanted for me to go on that Mexico missions trip. Why didn't I just pray? I don't know. I can't give you an answer. You know, I would pray for my wife. I'd pray for anybody else. But I wouldn't even pray for myself. So I don't know. I don't know what all that is. But I'm just saying, if there's power in prayer, we need to use it. Use it. You know, it's a weapon that God gives us. In Luke 18:1, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." And there you go again. That's another area we fall into. We pray, we fast, we pray, and no result. So then sometimes we think maybe our prayer is ineffective. You know what I mean? So we don't pray. But Jesus just said that he showed the disciples that they should always pray and never give up. Because we got to remember, it's as much as we want that desire, it's not our will, it's God's will. We don't know the timing. God knows the timing. Amen? I mean, you know, we get in there all gung-ho, like, well, I just know if 5 of us pray, it'll happen. Really? 5 people are going to tell God what to do? I mean, how's it going to happen? I don't think so. You know, we're there to be his vessel. You know, he's the ultimate guy. He's the big shot. He's in charge. You know, we just need to be willing and obedient to do what he wants us to do. You know, I think of that when we we try and, you know, lead someone to the Lord. You know, again, like Pastor Don used that example with Steve, you know, downtown. You know, he talked to that young kid. Or were you with him, Ray? Yeah, talked to that young kid. The kid was hooked on heroin. And you know how Steve slides you into that big schmeal, and at the end, I can introduce you to Jesus, you know. And the kid said, no, that's okay. I'm gone. You know, some people would just give up right there. They say, I'm a failure. I can't even, you know, win one soul over to the Lord. But it's not you. You know, God just wants you to be there to, remember, to just plant the seed. That's it. That's all. You're done. He's not calling on you to water it, on you to nurture it. He, you know, who knows? Now, he might have someone else minister to that kid. I mean, you never know the whole plan of the Lord, but the thing is, just be obedient and do what you're called to do, and then step aside and let the Holy Spirit work, you know? Ephesians 6:18, one of my favorites. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Well, there we go. We should be constantly praying through the day. I mean, I understand, you know, there's times where you got to dedicate your mind to the job that you're doing. You know, I think a man has to set up dies, and, you know, if they're not set up right, he's going to mess up the steel. So, I mean, that takes your attention, but there's still an opportunity to pray, right? There is time. I know I have time at my job. No smart cracks. But you make time, right? You make time. We get breaks. You know, you pray over your food. You don't have to just stop there. You know, you can pray for a fellow co-worker or, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. But there's always time to pray. And when you think about it, with all that time throughout the day, there should be more time of prayer in your life, even if it's silent prayer. You can still be praying, right, in the Spirit, than riffraff or garbage or stuff in the world. Think about that. You know? I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just throwing it out there. Did somebody have their hand up? Bob, what'd you do? Fall asleep back there? I didn't even see you, man. He was in prayer.
Deep prayer. Hang on. I'm talking about what you were talking about, prayer. You pray anytime you want, anywhere you want. The worst thing they can do is throw you out. I've been thrown out of plenty places. Right? I've been thrown into a lot of places, too, yes.
And like you were saying, in praying, one of the things that often comes to mind is when somebody has an issue and whatnot, and they, you know, hey, I need some prayer. You know, and it, a lot of times our issues are serious. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, we'll meet Saturday. You know, let's meet early. Everybody's quiet, 6 o'clock. We'll meet Saturday for the next 6 months. What? Because a lot of times people don't want to travail through that prayer. They want to answer right now. They want it resolved right now. I mean, let's be honest. When we pray, we'd like to see it solved now. Instead of seeking God continuously, as you said, and putting that commitment, God, I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to continue to seek you about this situation until I see that your hand is, you know, moving in it and the things are happening. And you'd be surprised if you commit to that and you put the time, you know, in, that God starts to open doors. You know, but you got to put that time in.
Yeah. Can I share one fast story on prayer? My lovely wife and I are sitting in Red Robin, minding my own business, doing what I usually do, eating, right? I'm happy. Look, we hear a woman yell. Remember this, Sharon? Older lady in a wheelchair. And she's yelling, hey, hey. She's wheeling down the aisle. We're looking, man, what's going on? Wheels right up to our table, almost hits it and says, I know you're praying, people. I know you're Christians. God wants you to pray for me right now. I got onions hanging out of my mouth. What? I'm just sitting here. How does she know that, right? Everybody, and of course, everybody in the building. So what did I do? Prayed for. Always be available.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We were at the hospital. I forget who we went to see, but somebody else grabbed me. We were praying for a couple people, and a nurse come in. I thought she was going to tell me to shut up or something. It was getting a little loud, I guess. She said, "Can I see you a minute?" And I'm thinking, oh, geez, thrown out of another hospital. She said, "Are you a minister?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Could you help me over here in this room?" I said, "Sure." What's going on? Oh, there's all kind of trouble. Got about halfway down the hall, and I just hear this guy hollering and cussing. He's cutting a fit. "What's wrong, sir?" What it was in the bed next to him, there's a whole family. They're hid in the corner. This guy's throwing pillows at him and everything. They'd had a priest come in to pray for the lady, an older lady. He went in and prayed for her. They got the whole family there. They prayed together. And as they were leaving, this other gentleman laying in bed here asked, "Could you pray for me?" And the man asked him, the priest asked him one question. "Are you Catholic?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, there's nothing I can do for you." And walked out. Walked out. So immediately I take over. I say, "Bring me a wheelchair. Put the guy in a wheelchair," because he's still hollering, cutting a fit. I said, "We're going to go find a priest." I'm wheeling him down there. He's grabbing everybody. Hey, you need prayer? Come here. We'll pray for you. It took about 5 or 6 minutes. I knew he would tire out. And he looked up and said, "You know, he's probably gone." I said, "Yeah, you want to go back to the room?" He said, "Yeah." Went back to the room. I prayed for him again. He went to sleep. All my teachings have that effect.
Yes. All right, here's another question. I don't know if anybody has this issue, but you might. What if I don't know how to pray? The Holy Spirit will help you in prayer when you don't know how to pray. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us in groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." So there you go. I mean, if you're really in that place where you don't know what to pray for, or you don't know how to pray, ask the Holy Spirit. It says right there, He intercedes for us, and He knows God's will better than we do. Amen? You know? I like this. Are there requirements for successful prayer? Yes, there are some requirements found in the Bible for successful prayer. Successful prayer requires, first, a humble heart. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So we got to make sure our hearts are right. See, that's that point I was trying to get to. We got to have a right motive in our heart. You know, I mean, sometimes we get mad. I remember I used to get mad and just tease. You know, I probably shouldn't have did that, but you know, I used to say, "God, I just pray that fleas from 1,000 camels would just enter that guy's bed tonight, man, so he can't even sleep." I mean, that's how mad I was, you know. But you know, that's not a humble heart, man. God's certainly not going to eat it. I'm lucky the fleas didn't come in my bed. Yeah, weak moment. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Roger. No, we got to make sure our heart and our motives are right, you know. And again, like Joe was saying, you know, we might feel in our heart that we have a need. We might not know what that need is. We might think we know what the need is, but God is going to know what that need is, right? Because He knows our heart. Wholeheartedness, Jeremiah 29:13. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." We can't go in to God's, I mean, I think of God's chamber, you know, his ultimate throne room, half-heartedly, you know, like Kenny was saying, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, you know, well, you know, I pray that guy gets saved, you know, he probably won't, but You know, I just throw one out there for them, you know.
What the heck, man?
You know what I mean? I mean, we got to go in. I mean, we're going in, you know, I mean, think of it that you're going into the inner chambers of the Lord. I mean, think back in the Old Testament, you know, only the high priest could go into the presence of God. Well, we have that authority and that ability now to go into the Holy of Holies with God. Man, we got to go in there with a pure heart, man. We're standing before our Father. You know, He hears our prayer. Or I remember that that teaching Pastor John taught about, like, I can't remember the scripture offhand, but when you cry, the Lord catches every one of our tears with a golden chalice. Like, that's how precious we are to God, that He doesn't even want to see one of our tears hit the ground, you know? So how much more, you know what I mean, does He want us to go before Him with a pure heart? Faith, Mark 11, 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now that's a, I didn't want to leave that kind of wide open there, you know. I mean, again, you got to be before the Lord with a pure heart when you're asking for these things, you know. Don't be asking, you know, I mean, if you're in need of a car, let's say back to that story again, if you're needing a car, you know, I crack. I wish Luce would have been here tonight. I was going to use her when she was praying for a job. I mean, she's like, Lord, I need a job. Okay. But I need to be able to start at 10, and I can only work 5 hours. But it's got to be 5 days, and it's got to be X amount of dollars. I ain't asking for much. You know, when we go before the Lord with a car, you know, yeah, I want it to be a Maserati. You know, 24, you know, 1,000 horsepower or whatever. You know, leather seats, this and that. That's what I really need, God. I can minister to some people with that car. You know? Yeah, you know? Or I don't mind. I hope you don't mind me using you, Brian. I was so touched by your and Christy's story about your house, you know? I mean, Brian and Christy wanted to get out of their house. They wanted to get into another house. And, you know, at first it didn't look good. I mean, we don't want to go into the whole worry thing, you know. But I came up here after one Sunday, and Christy was just sharing. And she said, you know what, Eddie? We're not going to worry anymore. We're not going to be in sin. We're going to put it at the Lord's feet. He knows the desires of our heart. And if it's His will, the doors will be open. And she was good with that. She said, if the doors ain't open, then we'll just stay where we're at, and we'll wait. But if it's meant to be, I know that the Lord will open the doors. And the doors were open, you know. You know, see, and that was a pure heart and a pure motive of a pureness to just say, Lord, if it's your will, we want that house. If not, we're okay with it, you know. And the Lord gave them the house, you know. And I believe that was because of their pure heartedness. Yes.
Get over to little Candace there.
Where's little Candace? Oh, there she is. There she is. Stay.
Already?
How long have you guys been married?
What am I saying?
Down to the last minute every time.
We got our house 10 days before the wedding.
Wow.
That was a lot. Samuel's got his job 3 months before we got married. The house was 10 days before we got married. Our honeymoon was booked 2 weeks before we got married.
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of... Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was crazy. We didn't know. Trust in God. God's going to provide for you. And I'm like, yeah, right. All these things He's going to provide for me, you know. And I've seen Him provide before, but I guess when you're in the boat and you're telling someone, hey, you know, don't worry, God's going to provide, they're probably on their side like, yeah, right. Well, that was my position. Everyone, oh, God's going to provide for me. And I'm like, yeah, right. But He did. And knowing me, I'm a really big planner and a very organized person. And for God to give me a house 10 days before my wedding, 2 weeks my honeymoon booked before my wedding, you know, Sammy's job 3 months before our wedding, it was kind of like I was like, Candace, I don't care if you're organized, I don't care if you think you're prepared or if you have your schedule, your plan, I have my own. And it was really cool, though, because through that, I learned a lot, and I was able to get really tested through my faith and through my trust in him. But, of course, I did not like going through it. I had a lot of times where I was very down low. I did not understand what was going to happen, but God definitely provided for us. And here we are today, and Sammy has a full-time job. They told him he would never get overtime, and he has overtime almost every day. And I'm 20 years old, and I own my own house. And, yeah, God has provided for me. Oh, so then we get on our honeymoon, and everyone's like, oh, just sit back, relax. You're going to be in the tropical weather and, you know, this many hours. I'm like, okay. We get there. Our luggage is lost a day. We get there. We have no luggage. They put us in a room that the sink was broken, no remote control, the TV was broken, the telephone was broken, the water was leaking from the ceiling, the faucet was broken in the bathtub. Wow. The first day of the honeymoon. And then I went to the bathroom. There's a lizard in the trash that jumped out at me. Yeah. So I was just, like, totally devastated. I'm like, this is not a honeymoon. This is horrible. And we couldn't go out to the beach because I had no sunscreen. I had no bathing suit. And, of course, I'm going to get burnt. So we just kind of sat around, and Sammy's like, oh, we'll just pray, we'll just wait, we'll just go walk around and see what there is. And I'm like, no, I don't even want to walk around. I'll just sit here. I don't even want to do nothing. He's like, well, let's get some drinks and let's, you know, go see. I was like, no, I don't even want to go to a restaurant. I just want to sit here in my bed. You know, when you start trusting or something, or you're having a good time and everything goes wrong, it's like, how can you sit there and try to be positive about it? But he was very positive, and 3 hours later we got our luggage, but then it got lost the way back too. That's okay though. We were in America, so it was okay. And then I got sick. I had stomach problems. I got sick. Sammy got severely blistered. He had blisters all over his belly and his face. We had to switch rooms one time, and there were still problems with it, but it was okay. And it was fun. So
And she was like the widow lady. Every Sunday for 3 months, clockwork, she was the first one up. A couple times she came up twice on Sunday for prayer. She wasn't giving up.
Successful prayer also requires righteousness. James 5:16, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Amen? We got to be righteous before the Lord. You know? If we're righteous before Him, He's faithful to answer our prayers. Amen? I can sit back and probably stand up here for an hour and just talk about stories where prayer was involved and you just seen the work of God, you know, astoundingly. And, you know, of course, people just try and blow it off. Well, you know, he was getting better anyway. Yeah, okay. You know? The people always want to try and douse out the glory of God, you know? But the fact of the matter is, no man can put God to shame. Also one that we all love, obedience. 1 John 3:22. We have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. I remember that in Pastor John's teaching about obeying His commands. And a lot of times, we don't want to do it. You know, whatever the Lord is asking. I'll never forget what Bob told me after that sermon, but, brother, do you really think I wanted to go up there and repent before the whole congregation and tell them I was scared and this and that, and then Pastor Don sitting up there in the balcony just licking his chops? He's like, I got him now. I came down from that sermon after I had repented about, you know, just being in fear and not going to the missions, and I go down and Bob comes running up, I mean literally running up to me, and he goes, are you stupid? I go, what? He goes, he turned around, he goes, man, you got a bullseye on your back about that big. He goes, Pastor Don's going to kill you. I said, well, let it be, you know, just let it be. You know, but no, I just wanted to be obedient to the Spirit of God, you know, because, you know, I always tell everybody in the home group, you know, I believe that my reason for being here and my wife and the reason we have the home group and all this is because I always tell the people in our home group, my job here on earth is to make sure you can be all you can be in Christ. And that's someone that's just laying down their lives. You know, and that's what we got to do. And if everybody had that kind of mentality, you know, we could get a lot more accomplished, you know. There would be a lot less stress, a lot less arguing, a lot less fighting, you know. But we know, again, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, you know. So that's why we need prayer. We need prayer, you know. I mean, Paul said he dies to his flesh every day, every day. You know, when you give this flesh an inch, it wants a mile. Think about it, you know. And I've talked to a couple people, including myself. I mean, do you ever just miss church one Sunday? And then you come the next week and, man, you don't even feel right. I mean, I know I do. I feel like a little dirty. Like, I feel like I was gone a month and it was only 1 week, you know. But then I think of the Word of God that says, you know, many parts but one body, you know. I think of us as like a racing machine, and we need every part works in that engine to keep it running smooth, you know. And when people aren't doing well, or their back's lit, or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, it makes the motor run unstable, you know. It'll still run, but it doesn't run in as pure as it could, you know. And so that's why prayer is important. You know, I feel that we have our, you know, we're responsible for ourselves. I mean, there's times where you might be able to just not overcome something, and so you seek help from the leadership, you know. But God has given us all the tools that we'll ever need to have victory over anything, anything. To say that you can't, you're calling God a liar. You're calling Jesus' death on the cross a mockery. Because it was for those very things so that we could succeed in life. You know, you always hear the pastor saying, the war's already won. God just wants us to fight the battles. You know, we're all called to be warriors. You know?
A lot of people have that problem. They're more than willing. They believe wholeheartedly in prayer. They're more than willing to pray for anybody, anytime. But it seems we're all just a little bit reluctant sometimes to ask for prayer for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunday mornings, how many people are up for prayer? How many people need prayer, do you think, on a Sunday morning? Everybody. But we're kind of hesitant to ask for ourselves, like it's something is wrong with that. And it's not. Like Eddie says, if it's a righteous prayer, pray for yourself. You can only give out what you have. That's not being selfish in any way. Here, God, fill me up.
Okay, does God hear and answer prayer? Yes, God hears and answers prayer. Here are several examples of this promise from the Bible. Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." Now, he didn't say we weren't going to have troubles. Let's get that straight. I mean, that's my new adage now that I tell the home group, you know. Jesus never said, follow the yellow brick road. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. You know, we all know what that cross symbolized, you know. And he had to sacrifice. So he calls us to sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? But the thing of it is that we got Christ with us the whole step of the way. Psalms 91:15, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I think of Bob real quick with that. I'll never forget that FBI story, buddy. Gun pointed to the side of his head. He's sitting there praying over the guy. That's times of trouble right there, son. But he didn't falter. He kept being obedient to what God had told him to pray for the man. You know? Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So if we're in sin, we're not serving God. You know, I think of David. I mean, I've did the story of David so many times. I mean, but I pick out certain things in his life. If you really read the story of David real deep down, you'll see that every time that David did not include the Lord in anything, what happened? He sinned. He failed. He sinned. But every time he clung to the Lord, he had success wherever he went. And doesn't that sometimes happen with us? You know, we want to make a decision. We feel wholeheartedly like this should be the decision. You know, and it might be a big decision. And, you know, something like that, if you're not sure, you need to go to the leadership. Right? I mean, if it's that big of a decision, wouldn't you want Pastor John, Pastor Don, and the elders to all pray with you and come into one agreement? You know, and then you can just sit there and say, I know it's God. I mean, look at all these leaders that felt the same as I did. But like Kenny said, sometimes we're afraid, but we're going to hear what we don't want to hear. You know, like David, see? He did, well, I better not call God on this Bathsheba thing. He might say something. Am I right? I mean, I want to get off into David, but I mean, he didn't belong on that porch to begin with. He was supposed to be out fighting a battle. So see, when we don't do what the things that the God has called us to do, that's what can happen. We leave ourselves open for the enemy. And then, you know, you got to get over that, whatever that is, whether it's a fleshly desire or a stubbornness. But you need to seek the counsel to make sure. I mean, you don't want to make, you know what I mean? That you're talking about a big decision. I mean, I'm talking about big decisions like jobs, marriage, houses. You know, those are big decisions in your life. You know, you don't want to just say, man, yeah, the wind's blowing out of the east. It must be good. What the heck? Are you serious?
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, flip a coin, Brian. There you go.
That's one of the reasons that we're in a body. For that very reason.
Yeah. Now, this was really interesting. Why are some prayers not answered? Sometimes our prayers are not answered. The Bible gives several reasons or causes for failure in prayer. And there's a list here, and I didn't look up all the scriptures for it, so I'm just going to name them. Disobedience. Secret sin. Indifference. Neglect of mercy, despising the law, blood guiltiness, iniquity, stubbornness, instability or doubt, self-indulgence. Sometimes our prayers are refused. Prayer must be in accord with God's divine will. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what? Knows God's will. Better than we do. You know, sometimes, I mean, think about it. Sometimes we get that arrogant where we say, well, I know what God wants. I know. We're like that. I got direct line, man. I know. Really? Trust me, man. Any kind of big decision like that, I'm going to the pastors for sure. In 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So there you go. If it's in God's will, the prayer will be answered. It's that simple. You know? And again, Joe made that point. We might think that this is something we need, or we might think that this is where God wants us to go or do. You know? But what did you back that up with? A funny feeling in my stomach? You got to get before the Lord and find out. I mean, think about it. I mean, sometimes we can think we're doing good, but you heard that old adage saying, you're just spinning your wheels. You know? I think of David, man. He was all into building that temple. God didn't have it for him to build the temple. It's like, hey, hello, I got somebody else to build that temple. Quit spinning your wheels, you know? And we can be in that same boat. You know, we could be dedicated to praying for something, but if we don't seek the will of God or the counsel of the leadership, we can be sitting there praying for that thing forever, and nothing's ever going to happen. We're just wasting our time.
Just because something's good does not mean it's the right thing for us.
Or he could have meant it for someone else to do that.
I think it all goes back to the beginning where you were talking about getting close to God. Mm-hmm. And knowing his love for you and knowing how much he loves for you, those with children know that sometimes we have to say no. Sometimes we have to say not yet because we know it'll harm them or they're not mature enough or it's not good for them. So getting close to him and knowing how much he loves you when he says no, not yet, or wait a minute, mm-hmm. we'll have that faith and confidence and we won't allow the enemy to hurt us.
Right.
I would say, you know, I get it like the summer off because I work with Headstart. Prior to the layoff, you know, my temporary layoff, I had applied for a position to become a manager over the family service workers. It was something I really, really wanted. I knew I was qualified for it. It was, you know, I was a family service worker. I would really, you know, understand it. Unfortunately, because of office politics, no interviews were ever set up. They automatically chose a person and put them in there. And I was livid. I was really livid to the point when they tried to call me and said, Raquel, you don't have the managerial experience. I kind of just flat out said, well, you had already chose a person a week before before you even closed the position out. And she was shocked, but I was being honest. So, you know, I felt like, don't sit me in this place and tell me this stuff for whatever reason. Anyway, so right before we got laid off, I was doing my hair. The Lord always talks to me when I'm doing my hair. and the Lord had told me, he goes, you're always trying to go after things that I don't have for you. He goes, I have such bigger things for you. You have no idea. You know, so, and, you know, I, as you know, and Pastor Don and Bob knows, and a few people, I applied for assistant director. I haven't heard anything, but I'm terrified about it. But I know, I know, because God is bringing back things to my memory. He says, be ready. You know, it's not going to be easy, but I'm terrified. And I think that's another thing that why people don't ask for prayer for themselves, for fear of having to do that thing that God has called them to and failing, you know, because they feel like, what if I fail? What if I fail you, God? What if I fail myself?
Mm. And we're actually going to have Brian share, because when my wife's father passed away, you know, you're always looking for that answer to prayer. God, did you hear my prayer? You know, you're in a situation where it's like, hey, her dad couldn't come back and speak to her. And so you're kind of looking for some type of confirmation. And so Brian and Chrissy grabbed me, and I'm going to let him share real quick what happened. And it just shows you that, you know, when you're praying, because my wife was praying, you know, it's like, what happened? You know, did, and we know, you know, Marty went and prayed with him and talked with him. But sometimes you just got to have that reassurance over and over and over again, you know, because the enemy's going to come and cast that doubt in. So I want Brian to share what had happened. And it was pretty cool.
It was the night of the wake, so they had buried Laura's dad that day. And that night I had a dream about him, and I've never met him before. I met her mom before. I don't ever remember meeting her dad. So in this dream, I was in this place. I don't know if it was like an airport or, you know, it was just an open area. And her dad was sitting at this round table all by himself, and he had this blanket that was knitted together. And I don't know if he had knitted it together or somebody gave it to him. When he spread this blanket over the round table, and he just sat there like he was waiting for others, because there was more chairs around the table. So I was like, well, that's crazy. I don't know what that means, you know. Do you want to? Okay. So I said to Pastor Don, I go, this is going to sound crazy, but I had this dream, you know, the night of, you know, Laura's dad was buried. And I told him about the blanket, and he starts laughing. And I go, what? He goes, well, he goes, the ladies from his church, they knitted him. Oh, no, no, you asked about the blanket first. Yeah, sorry. That's okay. There's two parts. So yeah. Well, he said, right? You said that's okay. I love you anyway. No. But like he was saying, ladies from the church had knitted him a blanket, right? And so they put this blanket on him, and then I says, "Whoa, you know?" And it was a knitted blanket. He goes, "Do you remember the color?" I said, "Hold on." I says, "Yeah, it was orange." And he said, yeah, that was the color of the blanket because he liked the tiger so much. I said, well, that's it. I'm out of here. You know, I'm done. And so I asked, so, you know, what did that mean? And you want to?
No, what happened was they asked the family. They said, we provide these blankets, a memorial blanket. And as he was laying in bed, they wanted to bring it up and lay it on him. And they had, you know, they had knit this thing, whoever did it. So they asked your favorite color, and they said orange because he loves the Detroit Tigers. So when he passed away, family folded up that blanket, and they took it home, and it was a memento as to his life and his love and what have you. And they remember for the last couple of days he had this blanket, and it was laying on him the whole time. So when Brian had that, you know, it was like I went home and I shared that with Laura, and I says, Laura, you're not going to believe this dream that Brian had. He had, you know, and once again, Brian never met her dad sitting at this table, and it was just that table represented fellowship and communion, and that he was like the patriarch of the family, and he was waiting for his loved ones to join him at this table. And this crocheted or knitted blanket laying on the top was a memorial that he remembers his family. Just like we read in the Bible about the rich man and Lazarus, you know, going so they don't come here. And it was, when Laura heard it, she was like, Brian, when I, you know, explained it to him, she was just like flabbergasted, you know, like, oh my God, you know. And, but it was just one of those confirmations to one of her prayers, God, I have to know, you know, that he made it home. And there were other things that happened. That was just one instance that Laura could tell a lot better. But when I told him, I said, yeah, that was the color of his blanket, Brian was like, oh, man, you know, I can't believe it. But that was just shows you the graciousness of God when, you know, you pray and you seek him diligently. And he confirmed that, you know, at that time.
And you talk about a small world and coincidences. I had never met him either. But I found out at the wake, I worked with the guy for 15 years, knew him pretty well. Never knew that was Laura's dad. Not that I'm that old. You know, I was real young, and he was old at the time. But I'd worked with him 15 years and never knew that until that very night. Yeah, everybody had nicknames. His nickname was Rocky. I always thought he was Italian. He couldn't speak English very well, but he was real friendly, always talked with his hands, always had the little for some reason, I always thought he was Italian, but apparently he wasn't. Who, Brian?
Pastor Donish had a question. The Bible says that old men will dream dreams. Does that make me old now? I mean, I want to be young, you know, with that heart.
Welcome to the club.
Well, even as you were saying, Eddie, about the temple being built, a lot of times we want to do God's will, but God can be very specific. Mm-hmm. And he was very specific when it went to the building of the temple. I mean, you could have jumped in, jumped the gun, started, hey, okay, I'm going to build this temple for you. Build it how you thought. And he's like, well, that's nice. You built a temple, but it's not the one that I wanted. It's not the way that I wanted it done. Right. You know, and just like with Brian's dream or not, he's very specific with the things that he does. Mm. We may not quite understand that, you know, but that's where we have to trust him, that he knows what he's doing. And he's working on our behalf, you know, that we have to be patient. We have to endure. But he definitely, as you can see, he works on our behalf as the saints to bring that about. But he wants to be very specific about how he does stuff.
Amen. Okay, should I pray alone or with others? God wants us to pray together and at times by ourselves. It says in Matthew 18:19, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. In Acts 1:14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. God also wants us to pray alone and in secret. In Matthew 6:6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And also in Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So see, it depends on, like Kenny said, what the Lord and what the Spirit wants. You know, there's time where we have prayer meetings where there's a bunch of us or a few of us. You know, it's what the Lord's will is desiring. But he always desires us individually to pray to him, because we said in the beginning, it's communication with God, and God wants to spend time with you. You know what I mean? I mean, he wants to, I mean, think of, I mean, for all of us that do have children, I mean, just think, you know, especially when, you know, when they're young and they're small, you want to be with your kids, you know. You don't want to just leave them in the corner and walk away and just leave them there for days. You want to spend time with them. You know, the Lord longs to be with us. He longs for us to communicate with him, to walk with him, to talk with him, you know. He desires those things. And so many times we get caught up with work and, you know, family issues and whatever the case may be, and we save very little time for God, you know. But he never stops loving us. Never, ever stops loving us. You know, we can stop loving him, but he'll never stop loving us. Okay, you ask how I can make a difference. What can we do to help change the world? I say prayer. Prayer can be used as an offensive weapon. In Deuteronomy 32:30, it says, one man can chase 1,000 and 10 can put 10,000 to flight. There's power in prayer. And so you ask, all right then, if there's power in prayer, then what should I pray for? All things. All things. Salvation. Psalms 98:2. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. And so I think of that. If we're going to be a world changer, like Bob said in the first class, we got to do it one step at a time, you know. So pray. Have the Lord put someone on your heart, you know, and minister to that person. And it doesn't always have to be words. It can be your actions. I shared that story about Frank Nuno. I was ministering to somebody else. You know, the guy I worked with, I was ministering to him. I was talking about church and this and that and this and that. And all the time, Frank, you know, I mean, he started ridiculing me. You know, he was making fun of me and this and that. And I just, you know, I was like, I'm not going to get deterred because my focus is right here. And I remember coming home and telling Donna, the guy's name was Joe. I said, man, I got him, man. The Holy Spirit's got him. Joe's going to come to church. And Donna was like, shows you what kind of discernment I got. Donna goes, Frank's going to come to church. I'm like, him? You're crazy. Boy, you're way off. You're on Pluto, pal. That guy's sitting there badgering, making fun of me, making fun of the church and everything. What was it, Easter? He walked right in those church doors. And as we got to know him, and then the church knew him, we asked him that. And he said the thing that drew him to the Lord was because he was trying everything that he could to see if I was going to be a phony or not. And when he threw all those weapons and you know, from the enemy, you know, because he didn't know any better, he seen that I stood my ground, you know. I didn't falter. And he thought, well, man, maybe this church is real, you know. And that's how he wound up coming to church. So, see, you got to be careful. I mean, I wasn't even speaking to him. I was speaking to this guy. And just by those actions, the Holy Spirit drew him in. Guidance. Jeremiah 42:3. Pray that the Lord will... your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. That's it in a nutshell right there.
As long as he doesn't lead you into a room in the basement, right?
Yeah, that was you, brother. You know, there it is right there. I mean, we need to ask the Lord. What, in the morning, you know, I can say... standing here before the Lord, that I know that every morning I put on my spiritual armor because I know that I need it. I need it. Without it, I'm weak. Without it, I know I'm going to fail. So I pray that armor on me every day, you know. But we always pray that the Lord would use us somehow, some way, whether an action or a word or a deed that we may do to inspire someone to ask about the Lord. I just found out my buddy Mark... he moved to another job. I mean, he's next to us, but he's on another job. So this other guy took his job, right? And you know how at first you're kind of like, you feel in the waters, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. You know, he was kind of quiet, you know. Come to find out today, he's a full-blown Christian, man. He does prison ministry in some church in Detroit. He was sharing some of his gospel music with me. And I was telling him about Israel Houghton and, you know, and Casting Crowns and all that. And so now, you know, he said he was going there tonight, and he said, pray for me, you know, because he was going to go minister in the prison, you know. But now, there you go. You see how the Lord works? It was just me with three heathens. Now it's two against two. The army's coming on, baby. I'm excited. Healing, James 5, 14 to 15. If any one of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. There you go. We need to pray for healing. Right? You know? But we never give up. It's in God's timing. Forgiveness, Psalms 130, 3 to 4. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. The Lord is faithful to forgive us if we truly repent of our sins. Don't let the enemy, you know, let that be an anchor that you're dragging through life, you know. If you truly repent, the Lord will forgive you. He's just to forgive you. Don't let the enemy use that. Wisdom, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So again, if we have that righteous heart, that pure heart, and we ask the Lord for wisdom, he'll give it to us. You know? Peace, Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. To me, that's one of the greatest gifts you can have. Peace. Peace. I mean, I just love it when I got peace in my home. Trust me. You heard the old saying, happy wife, happy life. Brother, I pray that peace in my home. I want that peace in my house. Amen. You know? Amen. No, I mean, I was joking, but I'm being serious, you know? If my wife is in distress, then I can't be in peace. Amen. You know what I mean? That's my God-given responsibility. I got to take care of that. You know? I taught in the men's meetings that our wives are just given to us on loan. They belong to God, men. And one day we're going to stand before the man, and he's going to want to know, what did you do with my daughter, my precious daughter? You know, I always tell the guys, that's why we got the big shoulders. Women are emotional. We're strong. We got to take it. You know? But I love the emotion, because with emotion comes discernment. And I trust my wife's discernment, because like you see, and I was out in left field, man. Kind of new to me, man. So I rely on her a lot to give me wisdom through her discernment, you know. Strength, Psalms 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. Plain and simple, black and white. He is our strength. He's our strength. You know, we know that every day we leave the sanctity of our homes and we go into the world, man, we're going to get beat down. The enemy's just waiting. I think of Pastor Don showing that video of The Matrix, you know, surrounded by all those, like he said, all those demons. I feel like that, like when I walk out of my home. That's why I got that armor on, man. I feel like I'm just slashing my way to the car, you know. And then I drive to work, and as soon as I walk in, they're there again. It's like, oh, you know. But fortunately, I'm starting to see that there are some Christian brothers and sisters there. And that helps, you know. Hey, I got one right next to me, you know. And finally, power, Luke 10:19. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So I think of being a world changer. We can step out into that battle zone because we got the Lord on our side. You know, I mean, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I mean, the devil had me, you know, psyched out in fear. God fears nothing. Nothing. You know, I think of like, you know, back to David again when he was going to fight, I think it was the Amalekites, you know. God said, no, you wait here while I go before you and strike the enemy. And they heard the Spirit go right through the trees, man. You know, and then David went on to finish it off. But, I mean, that's how God is. He's going to go before us. You know, I think of the missions trip, man. These guys pray and pray and pray, and they're setting the stage for the battleground for us to have success there. Well, it's no different there than it is here. You know, like the pastor say, we get built up and replenished and strengthened here in the church, but we need to take that outside the church doors. Right? I mean, Jesus said the healthy have no need of a physician, but the sick do. The sick people are out there. You know? And so one way to get a hold of that, to grasp a hold of that, is prayer. Because as soon as we get in prayer, we get into God's will. And as soon as we get into God's will, then we're obedient to His Spirit. As soon as we're obedient to His Spirit, He'll use us and things will happen. And when we see those victories in those areas in our life, it builds our confidence. And when our confidence is built, if you've got a confident Christian,